Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to CEO Interviews, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives about what's going on with their companies. With us today, happy to have John Barker. He's the CEO of Longcore Gold, trades in Canada, LN, for our friends in the US, LONCF. Now, with gold hitting a record of over $2,260 today, April 1st, investors are starting to look for great gold companies. So the timing couldn't be better for our first interview with Longcore Gold in 2024, an undervalued gold exploration company that has achieved incredible success in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we're going to call it the DRC, including the following. They control about 4 million ounces of high-grade gold within a couple of their projects, $13.5 million in cash and short-term receivables due to a recent sale of a non-core property where most of that money is going to come in here in the next month or so. That cash can be used to put to work on the company's world-class Adumbi gold deposit. It's the second largest gold deposit in the DRC, but 1.9 million ounces of gold indicated, about 2.1, I'm rounding up and down here, of 2.1 million ounces of gold inferred, a $1.2 billion pre-tax valuation at just 1,760 ounces per ton of per ounce of gold. Average annual production would be over 300,000 ounces for 10 years. The resource is still growing, and a mining permit has already been granted for the development of Adumbi, if that's where they want to go. Who's number one if they're number two? Well, just 130 miles down the road is Africa's largest gold mine. That's the Kibali, which is owned, controlled by Barrick and Ashanti, produced about 800,000 ounces per year, continuously now over a decade. In addition to gold, the DRC also has the number two copper producer in the world, the number one cobalt producer in the world, the largest hard rock lithium deposit in the world, and is home to mining operations by some of the world's biggest mining companies, including Glencore, Ivanhoe, Anglo Gold, China Railway, and many more. All of that is thanks to a mining-friendly jurisdiction, mining-friendly laws, and including a successful democratic election just held in December 2023. It's a great place to do business, and that's what we're going to talk about with John. Welcome to the show, my friend.
George, what a pleasure to speak to you when gold's running. Hopefully investors, you know, will start to see that there's that extreme leverage in our sort of space at Longcore Gold. I think we should be really attractive at this moment, I think.
I would agree, because look at the intro I just had. But here's a question I've got for you. You have the second largest gold deposit, DRC. Where have you guys been? It's almost like you've been in stealth mode here.
Well, where we've been is busy doing all of those things that you talked about in the introduction. So we haven't been, I remember listening to Mark Bristow once saying, hey, the market's tough. What should I do? Curl up and cry in the corner? Well, no, we don't want to do that. We've been out there trying to grow the company, selling resources in order not to dilute shareholders, and really driving this company forward from strength to strength to strength, and in really difficult market conditions. But it's now time for us. We've got some money in our back pocket. We've got things we want to do. And one of those key things is to get out and tell what we believe is a really great story, and growing larger and larger as the months go by.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about the resilience in your management team, because, you know, it's easy for all of us to be successful in a wildly bullish market. It's the companies that can survive and thrive when things aren't so great. You've done that, and now you're hopefully about to reap the reward because, you know, gold's making its move. Let's discuss your world-class gold deposit. Let's talk about the size of it, first of all. We're not going to do a deep dive into the geology and, you know, cut off grams and all that, but let's talk about, you know, What are we talking about size-wise in terms of your gold deposit?
Yeah, well, we have around 4 million ounces under our control, but virtually all of it's in one deposit, 3.66 million ounces at Adumbi. And to give you an idea, versus a peer group, we have like 16 companies in a peer group. We're one of the largest out there in that peer group. From scale-wise, it's one of the best. as far as the gold grade or the gold concentration per ton, we're the highest grade that's sitting out there in that same peer group. So we're big. We're hopefully going to get bigger soon, and we're one of the highest quality as far as grade's concerned.
How do the economics look there? Because, you know, Georgecom Gold could have a lot of gold somewhere way up in the Yukon, but it's just too expensive. I need 2,500 gold just to break even, for example. But you've got some great economics. Let's talk about the big picture economics.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of things I can point you to. You mentioned there that our nearest neighbor is Kibali Gold Mine, Barrick's. In the last quarter, that was Barrick's lowest cost, all-in cost gold mine in their stable of 13 gold mines. It's a high-quality gold mine. And the grades that it's mining at, the gold concentration it's mining at, is very similar to what we believe that we'll be mining ours at. And when we put that into a scoping study at the end of December 21, it came out with an $850 million after tax valuation for our 85% attributable value, $850 million. Costs were likely to be below $1,000, again, bottom quartile. These are things, it's a real quality deposit. $850 million after tax, and you know, market cap sits around 40 mil. So we've got to get out there and tell the story. This is high quality, large, getting larger, and everything's pointing to this being an extremely attractive deposit going forward.
You talk about getting larger, and a big part of that is going to be you've already brought in a few million. You're about to close on a $13.5 million all cash sale of a non-core asset. So I'm assuming when the majority of that money comes in here in Q2, looks like in mid-May or so, end of May at the latest, you're going to put that money to work in growing Adumbi, your key project. And if so, you know, you've got about 3.66 million right there. What's the potential to increase that size in 2024?
Yeah, look, the Adumbi deposit, when we first really started drilling this thing in 2000, it was about 1.3 million ounces. We drilled it and we pushed it to 3.66. We now got drill tenders out again because we have cash available. Drill tenders are out there. We're looking to do 11,000 meter drill program. And we've mentioned publicly the sort of tonnage and grade we're expected. But if you do the math, essentially we're targeting a total of 5 million ounces in that deposit. And that puts us really in a high category of potential size. You know, it's the sort of size that majors are looking for. So we're right in the space now where there's been increased M&A activity over the last 6 to 12 months. So we're getting into a very interesting space with 5 million ounces. Also, it allows a lot of flexibility in the deposit. We're not stuck to doing just one, say, open pit. We can look at open pit, moving underground, changing IRRs, playing around with the economics depending on the circumstances. So it's becoming, I think, we're getting a lot of variables, positive variables being attached to this project, which again makes it attractive for anyone looking into this project, not just investors, but potential M&As as well.
The numbers you're talking about are with gold at $1,760. That's when you did this assessment at $1,760. We're fully $500 over that. And that $500 goes right to the bottom line at the end of the day. So I know you can't restate the numbers, but you know, how much healthier does that number, do the economics look at 2260? And you know, fingers crossed, but there's a lot of talk about a slow move to 23, 24, 25 throughout 2024. How much richer does it get and more and attractive?
Yeah, well, it's going to, we're going to guess, but our scoping study was done at the end of 2021. So there's been some inflation since then. That'll knock a bit off there. But, you know, if you're estimating a couple of hundred on top. But, you know, the problem is not the valuation. $850 million after tax for our attributable versus our market cap of 40 mil. So we can add another 100, add another 200. We're still crazily undervalued on that fundamental. We're crazily undervalued versus our peer group. There's just no value seen in our company, whichever way you want to look at it. So yeah, it should be higher for sure. Could be 100, could be 200, but in a way, it's a It's just added cream on top of what is a very undervalued story.
And you're not saying undervalued just because you're the CEO and you think your baby is the prettiest baby at the ball, and you know you think it's undervalued. You've got some real numbers there to compare it to. For example, the recent M&A, like you said, for African gold deposits, valuations in the DRC are $50 to $100 per ounce for every ounce of gold you have in the ground. You're valued around $10. So two things I want to ask you there. One is, let's talk a little bit more about those, the real quantifiable data that says you're undervalued. And two, why do you think you're undervalued? Is it because you guys have been kind of been in stealth mode and really not out there? Why the undervaluation?
Yeah, look, for me, there's three ways of undervaluing. And we spoke about the PEA, which clearly states that we're undervalued. There is another way, and I don't want to get technical. It's not a technical presentation, but you know, the guys on the ground have found quality ounces. I told you about the growth that we had when we drilled previously, and it's cost us $6 an ounce to find it, which I can tell you in the industry is remarkably cheap. A group like Endeavor's talking $25 wow. plus. So it's $6 an ounce for quality, the highest quality grade that you're getting in the space. And what are we currently valued at? Well, we're currently valued at $9 an ounce in the ground. We're getting $3 currently premium for those wonderful ounces that our team has been finding. So that's another way of looking of how crazily that we valued. And you know, how do we work out that $9 an ounce valuation? Well, we look at the resource size, and we currently we've got about 3.44 million ounces attributable to us. We look at our market cap, we adjust it for cash and debt, and you get an enterprise value per ounce of resource, an EV per ounce. We're trading at $9 an ounce. Now, you've got companies operating in Guinea at a lesser stage than us at $50 an ounce. You got companies in other countries such as Burkina Faso, 50, 60. You've had takeouts over a year ago in Sudan, trading at $55 an ounce, and we're trading at $9. The average of our peer group, which you can have a look on our website, you'll see the peer groups towards the end of the most recent presentations there. The average sits around 40. We're trading at $9 for what I would suggest is a more endowed deposit with the potential of pushing through 5 million, which will take it to easily top quartile in the peer group that we're illustrating. So there's sort of three ways of looking at it: fundamentals, scoping study, there's the cost of finding the ounces, we cheap, and enterprise value versus peer group, suggesting we've got many multiples growth. So yeah, and why is it the case? Well, like many, many juniors for the last 12 months or so, we've had very little cash to do anything, let alone marketing. It's been tough to get out there. Ears weren't necessarily out there wanting to listen to these sort of stories either. Tough market conditions. I mean, people we speak to like the story, but maybe weren't ready to get involved in the space yet. I think that's changing aggressively. And the DRC, it's really a country that investors are now looking into, as opposed to some of the other countries, West African and East African countries, investors are potentially looking out of now. People are looking in. I mean, Ivanhoe, you mentioned Ivanhoe there. They're trading close to 52-year highs based on what they've got in the DRC. And what you know, Barrick's announced recently about a week ago, they're looking to increase the amount of ounces of copper and the amount of copper exposure and ounces of gold within the DRC. Well, as you said, we're the second largest resource out there. So and they're our nearest neighbor. So they publicly stated that the release went out just about a week ago from now. So lots of things are really putting a focus onto what we do, the fact we're so cheap, and now we can aggressively get out and tell the story as we're doing it now. We've done some great things, and the market hasn't been ready to look at it, but now things are really changing around, and we have quality. Quality neighbors, and we're really cheap versus on any factor you want to look at us.
Yeah, the numbers speak for themselves, right? That's the great thing. This isn't a case of if we do this and if we get that, and if we're lucky that the market maybe gives us more prices, if the price of gold per ounce rises, we may be. This is right here, right now. The numbers just add up. You're comparing it to comps that are several multiples higher, and we're not trying to give financial advice and tell people. But go do your own homework, everyone at home, and you'll see that the peer groups, the M&A, the valuations are all at 4 to 5 times higher. And that a lot of it's got to do with the fact that, that's right, Longoria has kind of been in stealth mode. Question for you, from the way you're talking earlier, it sounds like you're probably more inclined to sell rather than mine it. But let's talk about that just for a second. You know, it's like that show, Love It or List It, right? Yeah. Do you sell it or do you keep it? That big famous Canadian real estate show. Mine it or sell it. What are you guys thinking primarily? I know all options on the table, but what do you think is the most realistic outcome for Longcore in the next 24 months?
Look, we've got a fantastic team for finding ounces. We've got a guy who's been heading up geological teams for major blue chip gold companies and has found over 30 million ounces in the type of geological terrain that we have. So we can find ounces. Building gold mines is a different proposition. Building anything is a different proposition to significant things such as gold mines. I've been involved in it in the past, but often there's much more downside than upside. And we've said it all along. We're great at finding gold ounces, and hopefully we can continue to do that for quite a while. But building this, we're looking for either a JV partner or someone to take it out, someone to steer us through that period where more things can go wrong than can go right, i.e. building a gold mine. And, I was an analyst for many years, and you announce a bankable feasibility study. As an analyst, you plug in the key things, and if things go wrong, then your one-year target price of the analyst tend to go down. And so it's downside. If you do everything right in there, then you really just fit into their models, and you'll achieve their one-year forecast gold price. So there's a lot of downside in that.
Selling is better. Selling seems like the more preferred route.
Yeah, exactly, and so that's the situation. We're not mine builders. We look to find these projects, and we had great success in doing it.
And you are in a great neighborhood. I mean, a lot of people don't know how prolific the DRC is. My intro, I talked about some of the milestones out there. Number two copper producer in the world. Number one cobalt. I'm not going to go through them all again. Those are astounding. The size of the companies that are there, is it likely that you may become a target of one of these companies who say, okay, we want to get bigger in the DRC. We're already significant here. And I know you can't speculate, I'm not asking you to, but is that the more likely scenario that you have somebody in the DRC?
Yeah,
or do you have George Gold come in and say, we're not in the DRC, we want to be there because it's so prolific and mining friendly, and Longcore is a great way to get a foothold in. How do you potentially see that scenario playing out?
Look, major gold players have been saying for a couple of years, there's not decent, sizable, quality gold projects for them to acquire. Well, what have we got? We've got a project that's already a pretty decent size. If you look at it, again, the peer group, I draw you to that chart and our presentations. Either side of our resource size, we've got companies that are taken out in the last year or so, or in the currently been taken out. As far as the quality, the grade we talk about, we're off the chart as far as grade's concerned. So there we are as a large, hopefully getting larger in the next 9 months or so with this drilling that we're proposing underneath the Adumbi pit that to take us through 5 million ounces rather. You know, it's again, someone's going to mine this thing. It's just a matter of when, and I say it's not likely to be us. So that's where we see it. With all the activity is happening now in the M&A, given this gold price, you got to take I don't think it's unrealistic to say that M&A activity is likely to step up, and the sort of deposits with our size and grade are just not around. So. Yeah, I think we're going to see more eyes rather than less eyes. And going back to that valuation, that means just one thing for the valuation, given the prices that these companies have been taking out, which is $40, $50, $60, and we're trading at $9.
And the nice thing, John, is time is on your side now. You know, you got cash in the bank. You're going to try and increase the size to 5 million ounces. You said it. So you got this whole drill program set up for 2024. And time is on your side because according to most analysts out there and most of the experts out there, and I'm not talking about the gold bugs, but I'm talking to people like Peter Brandt, who has been gold neutral for the last 10 years, one of the most respective chartists and technical analysts out there. And he just came out the last month and said, I've seen gold 2,500 to 2,750 by the end of the year. So you've got a nice luxury of, hey guys, you can take us out now, or you can wait as we continue to increase the size of Adumbe, hopefully to your target of 5 million ounces. Because while you're doing that, the value of the entire project just continues to grow, right? So you're in the driver's seat.
And, you know, that perhaps is the most critical point you just made there. We have had people knocking on our door, people showing interest, but I can tell you most of them are bottom feeders, knowing that the majority of juniors out there will eventually scream for oxygen. I think Pierre Lassonde said the sector is going to need oxygen. And we scream for oxygen, i.e. cash, because there's just not been cash around. And so anyone looking at you just takes their time and know that you're getting more and more stressed and can come in with a low ball offer. Now we sit across the table. You come to me, you say, hey, we're interested. And I turn around and say, well, that's fantastic. But you're going to have to make us an offer that means that our shareholder base wants to move away from the path that you clearly described at the opening there. They're where we are, the size, the growth, the quality, and what we're going to do over the next 9 to 12 months, pushing it through 5 million ounces with drilling, with cash to do it. You've got to come up with a price that will dissuade our shareholders from following our clear path, i.e. you've got to come out with a much higher price than our current share price. Whereas we couldn't do that before. You had to sit and nod your head and smile and take it, you know, and just smile and smile and hope that they're going to come up with something we could show shareholders, which just didn't happen. So now it's different. We don't have to have those conversations. You sit and nod. You can say, oh, we got the cash. This is what we're going to do. If you've got to show us the money. I think that's the term. Show us the money.
Let's bring that up. How important is it that you sold off that non-core asset and you've got in a bundle already, you're going to get the majority of it now in the closing next month or so, month and a half, $13.5 million. That gives you the war chest, right, John, to be able to say, we can wait it out, we can do some drilling, but you're no longer easy pickings for somebody to come along and say, hey, John, you're on. So how important was that? And John, if you can, how strong is that also an indication of the kind of team you have there that was able, you know, that was able to have this non-core asset, have this non-core asset and sell it off for $13.5 million, which in of itself isn't a huge amount, but a huge amount in terms of your balance sheet and how strong you are and how stable you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose there's a couple of things there. You know, it's not... As I mentioned, it's the critical point that we've got the cash. Now we cashed up, you know, things can change. We can change the drilling pattern or whatever, but, you know, we feel pretty comfortable towards the end of this year unless change in drill pattern. So that's where we stand. We don't need to go back to the market. That's also really critical, George. You know, in this current market conditions, if you're a junior, you've got to come up with a discounted unit. You come out with a discounted unit of a share and a half warrant, a share and a warrant. People sell your stock to buy the discounted unit. And your share price goes down. It goes down. It's a downward spiral. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, you raise $1 million or $2 million. Then market knows you're coming again. They're waiting for it. And share price goes down again. It's a really difficult, tough space as well. So the fact we've got cash now is a real positive for us going forward. You want to get involved in the stock. You don't wait for the next private placement. You buy in the market. And I would suggest, given the way the market's looking, given our fundamentals as outlined, you know, it's an interesting time to be looking at what we believe is a very undervalued story. So that's true. And to your second point, you know, the team has been creative all the way through. The way we drilled the deposit, it had already had some drilling in it. We looked at it, reassessed it, looked for where we could drill. Drilled in the right places and almost tripled to 3.66 million ounces. And now we're looking underneath for that 5 million ounces. We raised the cash. We were sick of going. We had really supportive shareholders, both in funds and key shareholders and grouping of shareholders. But you know, they've been long suffering, as many are in the sector. So we try to be creative, and you know, we talked amongst ourselves, and we had Macapella. Hey, you'd love to hang on to everything, and hopefully develop it over time. But we felt that the real bang for the buck was going to be if we could push Adumbe through 5 million and really, you know, get the focus on that. So, yeah, we sold Macapala, it was picked up, and with that cash, it didn't dilute the shareholders on an equity basis, and look what we're now hoping to achieve, pushing it through 5 million ounces and really putting us on the stage as one of the larger projects out there of the highest quality.
Well, you guys are playing chess, right? Macapala was, you sold off a pawn, so you sacrificed a pawn in order to make the entire remainder of the team stronger. You've done that. Yeah. I love the fact that you've got the project. You got the economics behind it. You've got the balance sheet. You got and now you've got the macro market in your favor as well. So it looks like 2024 should be a really great year and well deserved for Loncor, given the fact that you had to wait, because unfortunately, not to any fault of your own, but let's face it, the macro conditions for gold companies over the last several years has been anything but favorable. You know, there's been blockchain, there's been cannabis, there's been crypto, so many other, you know, AI, there's been so many other industries that have been hotter and top of mind, and you guys patiently waited. And while you waited, you know, your non-core asset, you made sure that that got to a level you could sell it off. You guys just done everything right, John. I can't wait to have you back, but thanks for being on today just to give us this great, powerful overview of Loncor. Last words to you, if you got them. I know we've covered everything, but I want to leave the last word to you.
Yeah, look, Adumbe is really the strength of the story. And people say, what have you got? What's the news flow? But I say the first news we've got is to get out and tell this really straightforward story. That is the first news, because the majority of people that I'm still bumping into, investors at the conferences, I was in Zurich and Toronto and Cape Town, hopefully heading to other conferences, they don't know the story. So we've got to get this story out. But we also do have news flow. We may well, we still just finalizing our news flow, but we may well be drilling within 10 kilometers of Adumbe, areas that have showed great promise from previous work that's been done, great samples, and we might pop a few holes in there, which could offer news in the next 2 to 3 months in areas where, again, zero value, zero focus. If we find something fantastic, if we don't find it, then we haven't lost value for the company because there's zero value in there. And then, of course, following on from that, then there'll be the deep drilling below Adumbe, which we hope will come through with really significant drill holes, echoing the holes that we saw at the bottom of our current drill holes. So, yeah, we should have news flow as well, apart from the releasing of value news that we'll be hitting the market with.
Yeah, news will be great because you want to be constantly on the minds of investors. But the meat you have on the bone right now is tremendous, and just getting that story out there right now is going to be so critical. And I think a lot of that's going to be on us naturally, but it makes it a hell of a lot easier to tell the story when you got the great fundamentals you guys have got, John. So congratulations on what you've done up till this moment, and can't wait to have you back. But thanks for joining us,
George. And I look forward to the next conversation.
Anybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform. To John Barker, CEO at Loncor Gold, trades in Canada under LN for our friends in the US, LONCF. For those new to the story, and there's going to be so many of you, start your due diligence on Agoracom, get there to take a look at the company's information, and then hop over straight to the Loncor website, do your deep dive due diligence. Because guys, if you believe in gold, if you believe in the bullish gold market that's now taking place, and you're looking for a great gold company with all the assets in place and all the things in place, then you got to consider Loncor. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.